WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In his 1984 novel, Neuromancer, William Gibson imagined a new computer universe, which he called cyberspace. Now there's a whole cyberpunk genre in fiction. Critic John Leonard has a review of Gibson's new novel, Virtual Light.
What happens in William Gibson's eagerly awaited new novel is that Rydell, a rent-a-cop, and Chevette, a bicycle messenger, and Yamazaki, an anthropologist, and Sublet, a refugee from a trailer camp video sect that finds the face of God in old movies on television, join forces with a bunch of computer hackers who call themselves the Republic of Desire, and they declare virtual war. This virtual war is declared on a Japanese gangster conglomerate called Sunflower and a Southern California law enforcement satellite called Death Star. I won't tell you who wins. The bad news is that Virtual Light is not as wonderful as Neuromancer, Gibson's first novel, in which, of course, he invented cyberspace, that realm of all data, that consensual hallucination, as he called it, into which his heroes could project their disembodied consciousness. He also invented SimStim, a world of holographic simulations that would later be called virtual reality, and Black Ice, the computer codes that protect an information matrix and punish intruders with brain death, and Wintermute, an artificial intelligence trying to steal a soul for itself, and Freeside, the orbiting brothel and banking nexus, a border town for human DNA spreading out from gravity's steep well like an oil slick. Virtual Light seems a bit thin after this prodigal inventiveness, not to mention subsequent cyberpunk fiction, from Bruce Sterling, Bruce Wagner, Mark Lehner, and even Neal Stephenson, whose Snow Crash 2 years ago also featured a Pony Express messenger heroine. The good news is that mediocre Gibson is interesting anyway. Virtual Light is really a chase movie script about a pair of stolen glasses. Through these glasses, what you see is what Gibson calls the data feed on what you're looking at. Whatever is known about the scene you see, and can be digitized, is downloaded from a matrix and fed by these glasses directly into your optic nerve. And this news, never mind why, is bad for San Francisco. The future, according to Gibson, is one big third world. The nicest people in it seem to live on the Oakland Bay Bridge, in the suspension, as it were, in a barrio shanty town of steel bones, stranded tendons, tattoo parlors, sushi bars, pawnbrokers, herbalists, and dropouts. Elsewhere, as in most cyberpunk fiction, the prospect is dreary, a post-apocalyptic moonscape of cartels and cults, stealth houses and downlinks, cryogenic vats and self-help euthanasia clinics, data havens in Costa Rica and Korean robot cleaning bugs, dream wells and Death Stars. Nor can you leave the hovel without a respirator, and you're better off carrying a fractal knife, because either the Sword of the Pig is waiting for you, or the South Island Liberation Front, the Wolfmen, or the Death Cookies. No wonder Rydell and Chevette hang out at a bar for cognitive dissidence and consult the god-eating rock dream chimeras of the Republic of Desire and end up starring in their own TV miniseries. Yamazaki, the anthropologist, clearly speaks for the author when he notes, "We are come not only past the millennium's turning, but to the end of something else. Everywhere the signs of closure. Modernity was ending." I don't know why cyberpunk novelists are always so gloomy and dystopic. I'm not sure I want to think about it instead of watching television. But for guys who like to play so much with their fancy goggles, all they seem to see in the virtual light is black ice and brain death.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Virtual Light by William Gibson.